verses into your hearing. You'll learn about me if you've never heard me before. I preach word to word. Say amen. So don't think just because I read a few verses, I'm going to be short. Some of y'all missed that. Don't think because I read a few verses, I'm going to be short. But there's some depth here that I want the child of God to see. Verse number 18, the text says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother, Andrew. They were there casting a net. Underline net. Use a pen, a pencil, a crayon, some lip liner. Say amen. If you're a young person, put it on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, or Twitter. They were casting a net. And they cast this net into the lake because they were fishermen. Jesus said unto them, come and follow me, and I will send you out to fish for men. At once they left their nets and they followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother named John. They were there in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing or mending, here's the word again, their nets. Jesus called out to them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. If you have some time this morning, I want to speak from the thought, what happens when fishermen do not fish? What happens when fishermen do not fish? You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Let us go to God in prayer. Heavenly, kind, and gracious Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for what was, what is, and what will be if we keep our hand in your unchanging hand. Father, this time be with everyone under the sound of my voice. Open their minds, their hearts, their spirits, their souls, and yes, even their ears to hear a word coming from you via your manservant. Father, your manservant right now is nothing. He is frail. He is weak. But he comes before you because you are strong. Father, this time forgive me of my sin. And with a repentant heart, Father, please write on my heart what you want said to me and to these people. Father, allow me as dirt to speak to dirt so we may clean up our dirty ways. Father, bless the word. Father, bless your servant. Father, bless us all as your children. All these things we ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. What happens when fishermen do not fish? Church, allow me to tell you what I'm about to tell you before I tell you what I'm going to tell you. And that is, Christianity is for everyone. Let me say it again because y'all looking at me funny. Christianity is for everyone. But everyone in Christianity must continue to make Christianity available to everyone. Our job is to cast the same net that at one time caught us. Notice this text gives us a glimpse of God's kingdom even before his church. We are aware that his church was built upon Christ in Matthew chapter 16, verse number 18. But now he's talking about something greater. He's talking about his kingdom. That's why Matthew pins in Matthew chapter 4, verse number 17, that Jesus began preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. For while the kingdom and the church share simultaneous features, they also have separate quarters. For while the church is the called out of God, the ecclesia of God, the kingdom of God is for those who fall under the dominion of the king. When we look at the word kingdom, the prefix says king, the suffix says dom. Those who fall under the dominion of the king, the dominion, the power, and the sovereignty of God, who is our king. Meaning what? Those who are in the kingdom of God are those who respect the order of the king. And church, everybody who puts their name on the roll of the church does not live in accordance to the kingdom. Is that the same in Jamaica as it is in America? Everybody who puts their name on the roll at the church does not live by the orders of the king. Understand the fact that when we talk about the kingdom, that everybody in the church is not necessarily in the kingdom, but everybody in the kingdom is found in the church. So while I put my body in a church every week, I must also, and more importantly, subject my spirit and my soul to what is kingdom living. But notice here, in expanding his kingdom, Christ suddenly calls our attention to the cosmopolitan construct of his kingdom. Meaning the kingdom of God is cosmopolitan, not just in its ethnicity and in its culture, but also in its background. Meaning what? A whole lot of folk came from a whole lot of different places in their life to now comprise the kingdom of God. Y'all can look at me funny if you want to, but there's somebody in Patrick City this morning who can say, if it had not have been for the Lord on my side, tell me, where would I be? Why? Because when God found me, Lord knows I was in a place where I should not have been. But I'm so glad that though we have different backgrounds and we've had different sin structures, that God cosmopolitanly brought me and put me in his kingdom. Meaning the kingdom of God is for all. And not only is the kingdom of God or his church for all, but it is to be shared by all if it's going to grow at all. The reason I focus on the terminology this morning of kingdom versus church is that I'm hoping that once we see it as a kingdom, that we will then perpetuate the growth of God's territory in Jamaica. Men and women who will just not show up at a building, but rather they will have a burgeoning desire to fear and follow God in all that they do, knowing that living a kingdom lifestyle is submitting to all of God's words in all of our actions. Also, in seeing it as a kingdom, we know that any government, especially of historical significance, had a charge to expand its borders. And even today, child of God, we are being called to expand the borders of God's kingdom. We should be wanting to take territory for Christ. Expand God's kingdom, not of geography, but of grace. Expand God's kingdom, not of miles, but of mercy. Expand God's kingdom, not of longitude and latitude, but of love. This kingdom must be spread. And it grows in the minds and hearts and actions of men. Therefore, God should see his kingdom expanding in Patrick City, in Portsmouth, in New Kingston, in Spanish Town, in Queensbury. It should be expanding everywhere. So the question then becomes, since y'all still looking at me funny, we got 6 more days together. The question becomes, what have you done to grow the kingdom, the governance, and the church of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Let the sermon become personal to you. What have you done? Not what has Brother Mitchell done. Not what has the gospel meetings done. What have you done? We are to grow the kingdom. We are to baptize, but not just baptize to make members. We're not even to baptize just to make Christians, but rather we are to baptize to make disciples. And there's a difference in the terminology. Give me some script with that lip. I'm so glad you asked. Matthew chapter 28, verse number 18, we know this as the Great Commission. Then Jesus came to him and said, all power in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. That's good preaching. I got to talk about that this week. But all power here means exousia power. It means executive power. God gave me executive power. And since I am the executive, I'm about to make some stuff happen. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Verse 19, therefore go and make members. Go and make Christians. Notice it says, go and make disciples of where? All nations. It's cosmopolitan. It's for everybody. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And looking at the word, the nomenclature, and the function of a disciple. Allow me to illuminate you to the fact that every Christian is not in fact a disciple. It's quiet in here. Every Christian in fact is not a disciple. But rather the title and the nomenclature of a disciple is reserved for the few who genuinely serve as pupils and students of Jesus the Christ. Let it be resolved on this morning that discipleship, just like leadership, is less about title and more about function. It's not about who you are, but rather it's about what are you doing. Anybody can dole out titles, but few can perform up to responsibility. I don't know about here in Jamaica, but your cousins up in America, church folk always want a title. Church folk always want a title, but titles mean nothing, and function means everything, because in reality, we're all privates in God's army, so in fact, we are nobody, but we will be judged in relation to what we do, because what we do in actuality speaks volumes to who we are, and the Lord's church in Jamaica, if you get upset that people don't know who you are, then you first must ask the question, what do you do? It's time that we as the Lord's church get serious about the Lord's business and stop waiting on folk to come to us. We must learn how to go to them. We've built a monument theology. We stopped being a movement and we started being a monument. As long as this church is on the corner, if folk want to know Jesus, they ought to see it and come find us. But that's not what the Lord said. The Lord said we have to go find them. The Lord's church must be more than just a monument that sits upon a foundation, but rather it must be a movement that comes from a foundation, and that foundation is Jesus the Christ. We must be a movement to where people can't get away from us, people can't get around us, and people are attracted to us, not because us is us, but because us knows him. We must continue to encourage new disciples for Christ, or our efforts will be in vain. Can I tell you something? I'm getting to my text, but it just feels so good right here. Saving souls is our business. And when saving souls stop becoming the main thing, then we might as well close our doors. I don't know about here, but up in America, when you go to McDonald's, y'all got everything down here, Lord help me. I was at the hotel yesterday, and I was hoping to get some good Jamaican food. Say amen when you can. And your preacher pointing out Burger King and Kentucky Fried Chicken. I got that at home. Say amen. I don't want no Kentucky Fried Chicken. I want some curry goat. Hello, somebody. I want some curry chicken. I want some IKEA saltfish. Okay, now. But in America, McDonald's, even Burger King, they sell what? Hamburgers. That's what they're known for. As a matter of fact, when you see McDonald's, you see the golden arches. Under that, it says billions and billions of hamburgers sold. The problem in America is McDonald's started selling everything else but hamburgers. And now it's starting to lose market share and go down. They're trying to figure out what's happened to McDonald's. It's been a restaurant for 60 or 70 years. The answer is you stopped selling hamburgers. You started selling salads and cappuccino and everything else that you are not known for. The same thing is happening in the church. Our main business is saving souls, but some of us have become so attracted to doing everything else that we've stopped letting the main thing be the main thing. When saving souls stops becoming the main thing, when baptizing becomes merely a backdoor function, when the pool stops expecting to be used, then we might as well close our doors and take down our shingle. But as it stands on this morning, Patrick City is still open. Therefore, we come here to learn, to praise, and to worship. But when we leave here, somebody ought to put up a sign that says, "Gone fishing." Because when I'm not in this building, my life should be actively spent fishing, bringing souls to Jesus by the service that I give. Before I get started in earnest, I must first answer the premise question. What happens when fishermen do not fish? The answer is quite simple. When fishermen do not fish, congregations die. Notice I said congregations and not the church, because the church will always stand upon the rock. It will always stand as the pillar and the ground of truth, but there are many buildings upon which Church of Christ is hung. But you look inside of those churches and they're dying from the inside out. They're dying because they have no fire. They're dying because they have no passion. They have no spirit. They have no youth. They have no babies. They have no zeal. Notice I didn't say anything about money. Money, when it comes to church work, is overrated. Because money means nothing without mission. And the mission of the church is to save souls. Am I helping somebody in here? The church is always in need of converts. And Christ is always hiring fishermen. Matthew chapter 4. Verse number 18. As you look at verse number 18, we find ourselves contextually after the baptism of Jesus the Christ and his subsequent tempting in the wilderness by the devil. Here he's calling folk to Christ, and he starts with men. He starts with men. He starts with men. Let some men say amen. We need some more men in the church. We need some more men up front. We need some more men to take lead. It's quiet in here, but I know I'm right. Notice he started calling some men to help him in his ministry and make his presence and power even more effective. Now notice the text from Matthew chapter 4. He's bringing light to a world that was sitting in darkness. In Matthew chapter 4, he's actually quoting what Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 1. But when Isaiah said it, he said, men are walking in darkness. Matthew says the situation has gotten worse. These same men are not only walking in darkness, they didn't give up. They're sitting in darkness. And now to bring light, Jesus, to darkness, we see in this text that he uses men. And the only way, Matthew chapter 4 tells us, that light will come to darkness is through the teaching and preaching of the good news about the kingdom of God. text says in verse 18. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee. As Jesus was walking. Notice by now, Jesus has withdrawn to Nazareth. Matthew 4 tells us that he's living in Capernaum. Notice Capernaum is known at this time as the Galilee of the Gentiles. It's here in a Gentilian vicinity that Jesus starts by telling men to fish for men. What is Jesus proving? That the gospel message has universal outreach. The gospel message has a cosmopolitan construct. The gospel message is for everyone. Notice, though Matthew is writing to Jews, he doesn't write chronologically or by time, but rather he writes by topic. It's amazing that in Matthew 4, Jesus has just come out of the wilderness right before he commands Peter, Andrew, James, and John to fish men out of proverbial water. Church, the only way for man to come out of the wilderness in life is to come through the water. Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee. Notice Jesus is about to teach evangelism to them and to us. But the lesson of evangelism is not learned in seminary. It's not learned in preacher school. It's learned at the seaside. Because the lesson of evangelism, church, is not just for the preacher. Oh, y'all getting quiet on me. The lesson of evangelism is not just for the preacher. But rather, it's for the common man as well. And there was no other profession at that time that was as common as a fisherman. Everybody needed to learn from this text how to save souls. And the only way to save souls is by fishing. Notice, Jesus comes to them. First, it's Simon, called Peter, and his brother named Andrew. Later on, it'll be James and John, the sons of Zebedee. But notice those who Jesus had called unto himself, those who came to Jesus, had to come out of water to meet him. Somebody miss your shout. Say amen when you can. They had to come out of water to meet him. Understand what Jesus is doing before Matthew chapter 16, verse number 18. Jesus is putting some things in place before the quote unquote church comes to us in scripture. He saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother named Andrew. Notice, because somebody say, I want to keep going. We have to dig into these words. We got to dig into these words. Who are the first two brothers? Simon and his brother named? Let's try this again. These two brothers are Simon and his brother named? Let's try it one more time. We have Simon, who later on is called Peter, and his brother named? All right, class participation. But notice the history of these names. Simon is a Jewish name. Andrew is a Greek name. What is Jesus trying to do? He's trying to take this gospel message to the whole world. That's why he starts talking about it in Capernaum, which is really the Galilee for the Gentiles. The first two folk he calls, though they're both from Bethsaida, they have two different names, which represent two different things. I'm giving a message before Matthew 16, 18, to two different sects of people, to the Jews and to the Greeks. And I want both of y'all to do the same thing. I want you to fish for men. So notice he's talking to the Jews and the Greeks. But he says, number one, not only was it Simon and Andrew, but it's Simon who will later on be called who? Peter. So I'm going to take your Jewish name, Simon, and when I call you Peter, I'm going to give you a Greek name. Meaning what? The gospel of Christ is not only for the Jewish and the Greek, but it's also going to start with the Jews, Simon, and because the Jews are going to forsake me, I'm going to offer it later on to the Greeks, i.e. Peter. They were there, the text says, Simon, Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net. Don't forget that. They were casting a net. Notice how Jesus speaks to us, even today through the power of his word. And notice the significance of the net in the fishing process. They're fishing with a net. When we fish most often, we fish with a rod and a reel. Why? Because, number one, most of us can't handle more than one fish at a time. Number two, because sometimes when we go fishing, we're fishing for a certain type of fish. Some of y'all miss your amen right there. God says, I want you to fish, but don't you dare go out there with a rod and reel. When you're fishing for me, you go out there with a net. Because when you fish with a net, all you can do is put it down. And whoever and whatever it attracts, you bring it up there and you find use for it. When it comes to the church of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, stop fishing with a rod and a reel. Understand there's a difference between God's election and your selection. God says, I got people who I want to come to the kingdom. I got people who I want to come to the church. And though you might not like them, they are for me and not for you. Your job is to go and fish with a net. But too often we like fishing with rods and reels. We want to fish folk who look like us, talk like us, walk like us, make money like us. We don't want the folk of our society who we look down upon, even though some of us are too arrogant to remember that we are or we came from where they are. Let down the net of the word, and whatever it attracts, that's what you pick up. But understand, when we talk about net fishing, that when you put down a net, what you might catch, you might define as undesirable, unconventional, non-traditional fish. You might catch some folk. You might catch some fish that take you out of your comfort zone, that don't meet your preferences or your expectations. They don't have your ideology. They don't have your worldview. You might catch some fish that don't look like you. Some fish with some tattoos, some earrings, some criminal records, some mental imbalances, some depression, some bipolar. You might even catch some homosexual fish. Preach, flowers, I think I will. We don't catch no homosexual fish. That's not what we do. Who are you to say who God has called? Even homosexuality isn't a sin of an offense. They have to do something. Our job is to teach them Jesus so they will stop living in something. We don't baptize homosexuals. You baptize whoever responds to the word of God. Because how can you put man under a law to which they have not submitted? We can't hold them accountable to the words of Jesus until they first have submitted to Jesus. I can't be at home in Cincinnati, Ohio, and you try to put me under Jamaican law. I don't live by Jamaican law when I'm at home. But when my plane landed at the airport, I submitted myself to Jamaican law. And it's when a man comes into the body of Christ, regardless of his sin pattern, that he then submits himself to Christ. And once he submits to Christ, now he has to live by the words of Christ. Can I put something else here since I'm already in this thing? There's a difference between first teaching and second teaching. And sometimes we do so much second teaching instead of first teaching that there's never a baptism in the first place. The first teaching, and I hope everybody here has taught somebody or will teach somebody or will invite somebody to the gospel meeting. But what man needs to know to be baptized is that Jesus hears, Jesus loves, Jesus sacrificed, Jesus died, Jesus is coming again. They need to know that Jesus is the Son of God. They need to know that they are a sinful person and that Jesus went up on Golgotha and died on an old rugged cross so that his blood can cancel out my sins. Now, yes, we can talk about instrumental music. Yes, we can talk about women in the pulpit. Yes, we can talk about why we don't call our preacher reverend. But that is a second teaching. Because you want man to understand something when they have not yet submitted to Christ. Step one is submitting to Christ. What does that mean? That means you go out there and go fishing. You put out a net. Whoever it catches, you tell them about Jesus. Can I tell you something else? We'll sit there and we'll badger the homosexual. But then we'll let free the one who is in heterosexual promiscuity. When the one in heterosexual promiscuity and homosexual promiscuity are going to the same place without Christ. I'll never baptize a homosexual. Would you baptize a heterosexual who you know is living with somebody that's not their spouse? Well, that's different, is it? It's quiet in here. See, the fact of the matter is, we have to be urgently seeking souls who are lost because at one time, we in fact were lost. Well, I don't want to go after them. They don't look like me and walk like me and talk like me. They're not prim and polished like I'm polished. Don't you ever forget who you were before you got caught in the net of Jesus Christ. It was Paul who told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 9, or do you not know that wrongdoers or the evil will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither sexual or immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Where you gonna find those people at? Those are worldly people, brother preacher. Those are folk in the church. They're just rehabilitated. Everybody in here has been rehabilitated or is rehabilitating from something. If you don't believe me, that's why Paul said, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified. They cast the net into the lake, the text says. Verse number 19, because they were fishermen. Jesus said, come and follow me. We were all fish at one time. Out there in the sea. But I'm thankful for God and his word and his net. I'm thankful for its pervasive and persuasive power. I'm glad that when I was at my worst, he was at his best. I'm glad that when I was lost, he found me. When I was dirty, he cleaned me. When I was worthless, he invested in me. I'm thankful for his grace and his mercy and his peace and his tranquility. But you know what else I'm thankful for? He took me out of the water and put me in the one boat. The one boat. The one ark. The one church. Perhaps you're visiting with us this morning and you're not a member of the body of Christ, thereby not being a member of the church of Christ. Let me tell you something. Christ didn't teach them, nor did he teach us, to catch fish and put them in 313 different boats. There are over 313 different organized religions on the face of the earth. This cannot be. Not only can it not be because there weren't 313 different boats, not only can it not be because Jesus didn't say, lay down a net, catch some fish, and put them in the boat of your choice. But if the Lord's church is the bride of Christ, it can only be one. Because my Lord is not like Papa, who was a rolling stone. Wherever he laid his hat was his home. He has one wife, one bride, and one church. Lay down the nets. Take what you catch. Put them into the boat. I'm glad that the Lord attracted me by this one net, the word of God. Put me in this one boat. But understand, the only bait that ought to be in the net is the word of God. I'm going to come back to that. Verse 19 said, come and follow me, and I will send you out to fish for men. What do you want us to do, Jesus? Just come and follow me. That's it? Yep. What test do we have to pass? There's no test. Come and follow me. God is so good and made salvation so simple that it's for the intelligent and the illiterate. Come follow me. What do you mean, Jesus? When Jesus says, come follow me, the Greek says, it speaks of come behind me and absorb my teaching. What do you want us to do? We're fishermen right now. Come behind me and absorb my teaching. Meaning what? Christianity is more than just what happens when you come out of the water. Coming out of the water is not the end all to your faith. After I come out of the water, I must come behind Jesus and absorb all of his teaching into my life. That's what's called conversion. I'll send you out to fish for people. What do you mean we're going to fish for people? We've been fishing for fish all of our lives. Jesus says, that was your occupation by preparation. Now let me show you your occupation by revelation. They were used to catching fish with gills. Now they would catch men with wheels. Notice Christ has called all of us. Regardless of your past, regardless of your academic acuity, regardless of your intellect, regardless of your socioeconomic level, regardless of where you live, regardless of your chronological age. He's called us all to have the same occupation by revelation, and that is to be a fisherman. But there's some things about being a fisherman that we need to bring into our faith. Number one, fishermen are not paid by the hour. I wish I had a church in here. Some of us who get paid by the hour, we slack off sometimes. And we're not always working. If you have a desk job, you might start browsing the internet, doing things for yourself. Why? Because you know that you get paid by the hour. Being a fisherman, like being a Christian, is hard. You got to wake up early and stay up late, anticipating a big reward, and sometimes that reward does not come. Every time you go out, you don't catch fish. Every Sunday, you don't have a baptism. Every Wednesday night class is not the aha moment. But fishermen still have to continue coming to the dock regardless if they caught a fish yesterday or not. Why? Because the biggest thing about being a fisherman is patience. And the biggest thing about being a child of God is patience. See, a lot of us stop fishing because the first time we fish, we didn't catch a fish. Fishermen must have patience. Even if it didn't work last night. Don't you remember in the Bible? When the text says they had been fishing all night and they caught nothing. But then Jesus said, put the net on the other side. Amen. Understand, fishing is difficult. Amen. Their job was to fish. They were told the method how to fish, which is by net. But God didn't give them the mode or the strategy by which they had to fish. There are many ways to fish. Door knocking, Bible studies, but even today, technology. Don't be afraid of technology.